Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
$20 million a year deal. And then they signed T. Higgins and kept George Pickens. And they're going into a season where they have Pickens, Higgins, and Austin, and those are your receivers. I'm going to have to, like, talk myself down from getting too excited, because I will want to, in the moment, oh my God, they just got, like, the biggest free agent prize out there. Maybe with improved offensive line play and better wide receivers, they can make it work. But then...
Wouldn't you automatically think George wants a contract, and if they presumably didn't give him one, it's going to be a nightmare time?
Yes. Yes, but that would be secondary too. Like, what do you... Wait a minute. You really think that, this one player is going to raise Russell Wilson's play that much, where you're going to now give them a shot in these games and pick them to win these games that they've been losing since 2016? No, I'm not going to do that.
No, of course you wouldn't feel that way.
I'm not. I mean, if
it's grim, man. This is a very grim discussion you've launched.
How many points out of a playoff spot are the Penguins right now, Donnie? Even though they've got a ton of games, they don't have any games in hand because they played
like
more than most teams.
Three or four.
That was four as of last night.
Okay. So it might be five for six now. Could be. They missed a chance. They could have easily been in there.
If the goalie got hot for them, I could see myself feeling better about their overall place in the NHL
and the pecking order.
Yeah, but that's not me excited about it right now. That's me waiting and seeing and having to see it before I believe it, kind of thing.
There's just, I think there's a lot of team has to prove it to you to get pumped situations happening here.
One texter says the Pitt women's volleyball team, because they always deliver, but that's...
Nathan says, I'm excited for Pitt Wrestling, 18th in the country. Got a couple of guys that could win a title. No offense to them, every one of those guys who could kick our asses, obviously. But like,
before you know it, someone's going to text in that they're excited about Mount Lebanon's boys basketball team. I mean, it's...
You know, have you seen what's Upper St. Clair's got going? 6'10 guy going to Miami, Ohio.
Right. That's what I mean.
It's as bad as I can ever remember it. It is. Because I think every other period of time... Like, since we've been on the air, not together, but just as a station, there's been the Steelers always relevant. You know, we started the station, and a year later, they're playing for a Super Bowl. We've got our afternoon show in Dallas for that. The Penguins were – the problem with the Penguins when, like, the station flipped was that they were, like, frustrating in the playoffs. They were the defending Stanley Cup champions, though, at that point. Like, and it was surprising when they went out in the playoffs that year. And then the Pirates, you know, surprisingly to many – within a couple of years of the station starting, were for a little while there, they were the talk of baseball, and they were objectively very successful in the regular season. Only one team had more wins in a three-year span. So, like, there was the frustrating teams were frustrating because we had high expectations. Where we're in now is, I think, a point where the despair comes from the fact that you're mad at these teams, yes, but you also have, like, no expectations.
You know how Charlie sitting next to us here always, like, talks about how he thinks that there are parallel universes and simulations
and
things
like that.
Yeah, I
believe all that too.
All of our teams, specifically, like, maybe less so the Penguins, but Steelers, Pitt football, and Pirates, at points in their season, their most recent seasons made us think that those teams were different. The Steelers were 10-3, and Russell Wilson was playing well. We felt like their quarterback prayers had been answered. Their defense was playing well, and they could beat anybody. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs, they don't look that good. They're winning games by last-second field goals. Their offense can't score 30 points in a game. They can go there and win.
Yeah.
There's not a team that's intimidating or scary. Pitt was 7-0, and more teams get invited to the playoff now than ever before. And their conference isn't good. The Pirates bought at the trade deadline, and the teams that were competing for a wild card at the time were not that different than them.
You could squint easily and see them hanging right into the bitter end.
And the bottom fell out with all those teams, man, that get us to this depressing place we're in right now, where all of us are saying, other than the mustachioed pitcher who's signing, who's autographing books from hundreds of years ago on flights, apparently now. I don't know if people saw that story with Skeens. Like, there's just not much to
around. Have you read Crime and Punishment?
I have not.
You could work through that in, what, a night?
What is it, like 700 pages?
Yeah, it's two nights for you.
Donnie, when was the last time you read a book from cover to cover?
I read one of Florio's books last year.
His work of the Father of Mine book?
Like the fictional books Florio writes or the football books
No, it was the, what the heck was it called? Like Playmakers?
It was called Of Mice and Men.
Well, I love that book.
I just finished All Quiet on the Western Front this morning.
Lord of the Flies up next, Malzy.
Wait, you say underwhelming. Why again? Remarque, you didn't like what?
I just thought it was boring.
That Western Front, it was quiet, Chris.
Didn't have a big finish.
I think that's the whole point of the book.
To have a boring ending?
Well, no. I mean, I think the whole point of the book is kind of nihilistic. Like, why are all these young guys going off and dying in a war for no real reason?
Yeah.
Feels like if you were looking for a slapdash Jason Statham action movie in book form.
I don't know. Give me a cliffhanger or something at the end of that book. Give me something that I can really
sink my teeth into,
exactly.
And then he gets to the Western Front, and it's like, was it quiet? We'll never know.
How did the Bible end?
It's just Book of Revelation, and then the Book of Revelation.
So it's just predictions on what's next, basically?
Well, I mean, you know how the Bible was like put together, right? I mean, it's a bunch of disparate sources, so it's not like somebody wrote it and said, all right, I'm starting with Genesis, and then we're going to get all the way to Revelation. So they just kind of cobbled it together, and Revelation's like the apocalyptic book, so it goes last.
And so it's basically like, hey, hundreds of years from now or thousands of years from now, this is what's going down.
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly like a symbolic book. It's, you know, a lot of sevens and 49s and things like that. Number seven was a big deal.
How about sixes?
Well, that's the devil's number, the mark of the beast, 666.
What's Jesus' number?
33, I would say.
Really?
Or like the Holy Trinity, but like threes are big there, yeah.
Yeah.
Get an Al Bundy jersey in his closet.
Polkai.
It was right next to his Bam Morris Steeler jersey.
God, who's the best 33?
Bird.
Is it Bird across all sports? Best 33 of all time?
I love the Bird, man.
I'm just trying to think if there's a baseball player, a football player, other basketball player, hockey player. I mean, he seems like
maybe
he owns.
Maybe your Scottie Pippins of the world wearing 33.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because, like, 32 is a hard number to own. Magic, Shaq.
Jim Brown.
Right. Like, man.
Yeah.
You got to just stake a claim. I mean, even 23, there's going to be a generational divide on Jordan and LeBron. Joe Hayden, of course. Marshawn Lattimore. It's a bummer right now, man. That's why we went into a diversion. We kind of like changed course and talked about All Quiet on the Western Front because by comparison, that feels a little more cheery.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Trying to sift through the wreckage of the Pittsburgh Steelers' playoff loss to the Ravens. What happens to this team? We heard Mike Tomlin's season-ending address on Tuesday. Nothing's happened since. Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider, Post-Gazette, back with us to make sense of all that. Ray, when do you expect to hear about Steelers coaching news?
You know, when Tomlin has made moves, it hasn't been consistent. Like, he's made some moves, you know, the same week as the season ended. But he's also made moves, you know, late January, too, where, you know, we find out guys aren't coming back. So I don't get the sense that anything is imminent at all.
Wow.
You know, that could change.
What's the holdup? I mean, how is it that hard to figure out who's good enough to keep their job and who isn't? Ray.
Well, I mean, Mike.
You'd also want to talk to people before they get jobs with other teams, you know?
Well, I mean, listen, all I'm saying is I haven't heard anything like that anyone who's under contract, let me say that, anyone who is under contract is going to be let go. But that could change. You know, Mike could have conversations in the next week or two and he could change his mind. And also, you know, let's say maybe Mike goes out and hires a consultant, like a Brian Flores, an assistant head coach. I mean, you know, Art has shown the willingness to do that in the past. He did it with Brian Flores. They've done it, you know, on a few other occasions, too, where, you know, you bring somebody else in who's in addition to the coaching staff and not somebody who's taking someone's place who's under contract. So the sense I get right now is there's going to be changes, but probably not the changes that people want to hear about. It could be just position coaches, and I honestly don't know that that's going to come tomorrow. That could come next week or the week after.
How involved does Art Rooney get in these decisions to retain or not retain coaches? When Mike is going through this process, how involved is the owner?
Yeah, I mean, Art was involved last year, obviously, but I think for the most part, you know, he trusts what, you know, what Mike thinks and what Mike wants to do. Now, listen, this situation at the end here, what happened both on offense and defense, but I'm talking more about defense now because that was supposed to be this team's strength. Does that rise to the level of Matt Canada? I don't know about that. You know, they fired Matt Canada, and
it doesn't.
You know,
doesn't sound like you think it does.
I don't think it does. Honestly, I think the Canada tenure was so bad. They were a very good defense with Austin being the quote-unquote coordinator until really the last half of this season. I mean, they were a pretty good defense for the other years he was a coordinator here. Now, you could say he's got great players. That might be true, but his defenses statistically, you know, they did pretty well. That was not the case late this season. That's why I'm leaving, you know, the door open for that, but like I said, guys, I haven't heard that they would be willing again to, you know, get rid of somebody who's under contract next year.
So then who is the biggest name position coach that you think will be let go then, Ray?
I mean, I don't want to speculate because I don't even know who's under contract and who's not. You know, I know the coordinators' deals. I knew Pat Meyer still had a year left, but I don't know, you know, what Grady has left or the linebackers coach or Denzel Martin or anyone like that.
So you think Meyer will be back then?
Well, Meyer's under contract.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't get that sense. But, again, you know, things could change and, you know, Mike can change his mind, but I do not get the sense that they're going to make a change there.
Man.
Ray, how long have you been covering this team?
Full-time, more than a decade now.
I mean, in that decade, can you remember an off season where it just, like, you know, you're interacting with a lot of fans, you're doing mailbags, you're obviously observing the way the team gets talked about. Can you remember a time in that decade where the attitude towards them has been this bleak and negative?
No, it's as bad as I can remember. Certainly not since, I think I've been doing this full-time since 2012, and it has never been this bad. You know, they started 0-4 in 2013. They turned that around, and then they were in the playoffs for a good while there. It's never been like this. You know, maybe if you want to go back to like 2017 when you lose to the Jaguars in the fashion that you did there, but it didn't rise to the level now. I mean, I think there are more people up for Mike Tomlin's job more than ever, and I think increasingly you're seeing more people upset with the owner as well. So I think that's I think, you know, really Art's probably expecting that because of what he said at the end of last season. I'm sure he's, you know, like Mike, he's got big shoulders. He's willing to take them on. But I, you know, for both Mike and for you know, Steelers ownership, I think this is as bad as it's you know, that I can remember.
Ray, do you agree with most of your peers that Russell Wilson's done and Justin Fields will be the Steelers' number one quarterback next year?
Yeah, here's my thoughts on that. I had no issues with Russ being the guy at midseason. That's why they brought him in here, guys. They wanted to win a playoff game. They wanted to make a run here with this veteran group. It didn't work out. And I think what we saw here was maybe, you know, Russ is probably a good quarterback for a better situation. And I think Justin, given his athletic ability, I think Justin, if you stick with him as a starter in 2025, he can help the running game. He can help, you know, some of those sacks aren't going to be sacks anymore. Now, can the coaches work with him as a passer? I don't know if you could fix him as a passer, but I think the running game would be better, get back to better playing better defense. You know, that's my thought process there. If you, you know, right now I'd say it's 60-40 probably in favor of Justin Fields. And then I do think, guys, whoever it is, they got to go out and find a young quarterback in the draft, either this year or next year. I know this is not a great draft for quarterbacks, but you got to get that guy in place here. You're in a division with Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, in a conference with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. You got to go out and get that young guy. And I hope he can develop into one of these franchise quarterbacks.
Ray, where do you think they stand right this second on how they want to proceed with George Pickens? More likely he actually gets I'll give you three scenarios. He gets traded, yeah. He gets a contract extension, or he enters next year just with no new contract and still on the Steelers.
I don't have a great sense of what the Steelers are thinking right now. I think they're still going through that process. It feels like he's going to get traded. Just being around the team, being in that locker room, seeing how he interacts with coaches and players, it feels like maybe this thing has run its course. I don't know. Maybe if they go out and get a free agent receiver and, you know, you could sell George on that, you know, he's not going to be double teamed and that he can maybe even be more productive. You know, put some better players around him. Maybe you can convince him and you hope that he turns into a better citizen. But we've seen no evidence of that for 3 years. So I don't know that you can count on that happening in year four either. So it feels to me like maybe something is going to happen in March or more than likely April before the draft.
Do you think Micah Fitzpatrick is back with an $18 million cap hit next year?
I think it's a $22 million cap hit.
22. Thank you.
Even more. 20, yeah, 18 might be his salary.
Yep.
Second highest cap hit only to T.J. Watt. You know, listen, they couldn't cut him as a post-June 1 cut, and they could. You know, the dead money in 25 would only be like $6 or $7 million. You know, and then you push that off into the future. You have to, you know, eat the rest of that in 2026. But it's not that hard to walk away from Minkah. My gut feeling is they're going to walk away from other guys. I think they'll keep Minkah. I think Larry Ogunjobi's gone. You know, you can Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, Montrevious Adams, Dean Lowry, guys. I think you could save a bunch of money with guys like that. I think that'll, you know, those ones will add up. And I think you just want to give maybe Minkah one more shot. And then if it doesn't work out, cut him next year. Next year, it's a much more palatable, you know, dead cap hit. I think it's much easier to walk away with 1 year rather than 2 years left.
Ray, not whether you think they will, but do you think they should at least explore the idea of trading T.J. Watt this offseason?
I wouldn't. As corny as it sounds, I do think there's, like Cam Hayward being a quote-unquote one-helmet guy, I think that's important for franchises. And, you know, he's only got 1 year left, so what would T.J. Watt going to his age 31 season, what would he really fetch in a trade anyway? Like, the team would have to sign him, would be a, you know, sign and trade. Maybe you get a one, but I don't know. I just think you keep a guy like that, you build around him, and then hopefully at some point you can figure it out and get a playoff win for the guy.
Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo, Post Gazette. Ray, thanks again. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, it is time for Total Request Thursday. You pick the topic. You had four options, all topical, all relevant to what's going on right now. Steelers QB dilemma, Bills Ravens, Bob Uecker, and Tristan Jarry. Tristan Jarry only 14%, despite that probably being the biggest story that's happening right now, right at this very second, being shipped down to the minor leagues, driving to Wilkes-Barre to play for the Baby Penguins.
14% is just about the same as his save percentage.
Good one, Malzi. Bills-Ravens, the biggest football game of the weekend.
Donnie, we need the Undertaker gong for that one, man. I got no-sold like he was just coming in,
no,
chokeslamming
Jeff's
everything
here liked
in
it.
Sight.
Jeff liked
yeah,
it.
I said the joke to you.
15% for Bills-Ravens. Bob Uecker, 23%. Yeah. And with almost half of the votes, 47.5% for the Steelers QB dilemma.
What are we doing, folks? Why do you want to subject your... We could reminisce about how unique and one-of-a-kind Bob Uecker was.
They want the hits, man. They don't want some long cut. They don't want some song on the B-side of an Eric Clapton album where he plays the guitar for 25 minutes and never utters a lyric. They want to hear Lay Down Sally again. You know, they want to hear the hits.
I want to hear White Room. What else? Tears in Heaven.
Oh, I hate that song.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I absolutely.
And I know what that song is about and everything, but I am not
a fan. I know.
I'm still not. It doesn't matter. I don't like the song.
So, a couple things on the quarterback. Let's do some breaking news. This is reporting. Nothing has happened. But the report out of Chicago is, even though Arthur Smith is interviewed for that job, that it's down to Mike McCarthy and Ben Johnson.
I've heard rumors that Ben Johnson doesn't really want to work on a team that has Ryan Poles as its GM.
So it's probably going to be Big Mike, headed to Chicago, Greenfield Zone, a man who frequents Archie's on the south side when he's in town.
Chicago's like a much bigger version of Pittsburgh. He'll do fine.
Absolutely.
He'll kill in Chicago.
He'll be eating those beef sandwiches.
Italian beef sandwiches. Yep. He'll get a Chicago. If they hire him... You know, they used to put Coke, a bottle of Coke or Gatorade in front of Saban at his presser. There should be a big Chicago-style dog and then an Italian beef sandwich next to him.
I'll make a prediction right now, Donnie. In the next 6 months, Mike McCarthy will throw out the first pitch at Wrigley Field with a mustard stain on a jersey.
That'll happen. Or he'll sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Some, like, still on his face.
He's just got like relish. He's kind of like, he takes his pinky and wipes it off back of his knuckle.
Remember when he was interviewing for the Cowboys job and Jerry Jones let him stay at the house and he went downstairs and, like, made
he raided the fridge in the middle of the night? Didn't Jones like find him down there? What are you doing? Yeah, I'm just making a sandwich, Jerry.
That's like the most Pittsburgh guy move ever to do that.
That is one of the most relatable things like a big, you know, famous millionaire person could ever do. Yeah, I just wanted a ham and turkey sandwich.
He's just in his underwear.
No, he's definitely wearing like the big billowing boxers. He's got like a T-shirt on that says like, you know, Mount Lebanon or something, athletic department, property of Central Catholic Athletics.
All right, so, I mean, really, it's going to boil down to the Jets for Arthur Smith. And even though ESPN prediction will happen, I still don't.
I would just be shocked, man. It just would feel like, what did he do to warrant that job? But then again, that's why they're the Jets.
I think Arthur Smith wants to mine Justin Fields some more. So whether that's in New York with the Jets or back here with Pittsburgh, I think he's very open to that. And in fact, I think he's actually like recommending that that's what they do. But then I think about this. On Saturday, we're going to watch Patrick Mahomes play C.J. Stroud. And then Sunday, I'm going to be in Orchard Park for Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson.
Which is basically alien versus alien. Just two, you know, really the least impressive of those four is Stroud. And he won Offensive Rookie of the Year. And when he's on, he can play with any of them.
And we're trying to talk ourselves into Justin Fields.
Not only that, we're basically trying to say, can somebody teach Justin Fields how to read defenses and pass the ball consistently? Luckily, when you play quarterback, passing the ball consistently is not a prerequisite.
That's where this despair that's inside of me right now comes from. I would actually feel better if some team with mediocre quarterback play, like when Arthur Smith was in Tennessee, if some team had merged with a Ryan Tannehill adjacent player right now to win, and I could say, see, there's the path. Try to do that. Yes, be the exception to the rule. Be the outlier.
Somebody's done it, though. The trail has been blazed before.
It's the guy that won the Rookie of the Year last year.
And he's a prohibitive underdog.
A two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl champion. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson is going to win his third MVP award this year. It's depressing, man. That's why.
Oh, and by the way, the guy that might have had the best season of all didn't even make the playoffs.
That's why, for as crazy and as kooky as the Cowherd take was today that's gone viral, the idea that you basically make a deal with the devil to try to find your next quarterback, do whatever it takes to at least give yourself an opportunity to have that guy, he is right about that.
I know. I mean, I think like one of the big problems with the Steelers is I think most fans who are avid observers of the NFL understand that as reductive as it seems, it really is just do you have a quarterback or do you not? And the Steelers, frustratingly, I think as an organization, if they realize that, it's like grudgingly, and they're almost like it's almost like they're trying to prove that there's another way to do it. Like Nick Foles won one with Philly. Okay, that's an outlier. That's not a guy who's a career great quarterback. But they had Carson Wentz, who at that time was like a prototype quarterback weapon on their roster.
The only thing that at least I hear people say it and I'm like, okay, I kind of get it, is if you do this exercise. If you take Jalen Hurts out of Philadelphia – and you replace Jalen Hurts with Justin Fields, is the team any worse off?
Probably not. I think Hurts is,
right?
I think Hurts is probably the worst quarterback left.
So then, okay, so if we agree on that, all right, then all we need to do is just build the Eagles roster then. That's it.
We've got Andy Weidel.
We need to hit on all these draft picks. We need to build the best offensive line in football. We need two number one wide receivers. We need the best running back in the game.
We need the number one ranked defense
with the best defensive coordinator maybe in the sport right now.
Okay.
Cool.
A lot of problems. Howie Roseman is probably the best GM in the league, and he has all the say there. Like, Nick Sirianni did not come in there with a ton of power, so you're not going to have that here. Mike Tomlin, for as long as he's here, will be a massive voice in player acquisition. You're also going to need an owner that's willing to spend the money it takes to hire a Vic Fangio or hire a Kellen Moore and be willing to tear it down after 1 year when it doesn't work and fire guys to hire the two I just mentioned. Art Rooney II is no Jeffrey Lurie. They have a better owner in that sense. They have a better GM. They have a head coach who doesn't have enough juice yet to like seriously get involved. What are you looking over at Charlie
for? Charlie's listening to some headbanging rock and roll or something because he's just nodding like he's hearing... Our on-site producer, no, I think you're making fair points, but it looks like he's over there listening to, like,
Slayer, Megadeth.
Okay. Yeah. Is that accurate? Are you listening? See, look, I called it.
All it looks like to me is a guy playing drums. I can't tell if that's, you know, Stevie Van Sant.
He's listening to a full drum set from June 8th, 2024 at some live concert in friggin' Atlanta, Georgia. So if I didn't know Charlie better, I would think he was nodding along to your outstanding analysis of the situation. But the Charlie I know does not do that for Steelers takes. He only does that if you say Jacob Markstrom deserves the Vezina over Connor Hellebuck, or it's this exhaustive study
of Dave Andrechuk's impact on the Devils. Travis Zajac takes Patrick Eliosh. The Eagles are structured completely differently.
But they're trying to copy that model. That's why they wanted Ayuk.
I understand they're trying to copy that model. The problem is the owner and the GM in that place are wildly different than the owner here, and really I will say the head coach here, because the head coach has been on the job so long that in terms of juice, he's got more than the
agreed.
GM.
Agreed. I think the owner here would have fired Arthur Smith and Terrell Austin. The same way when they collapsed last year, and made the playoffs but got embarrassed in the first round by Tampa. He said, The OC, Brian Johnson, you're out even though you're close to Jalen Hurts. The defensive coordinator, who I think was Matt Patricia at the end of the year, goodbye. And
Vic Fangio is the best defensive coordinator in the league,
other than maybe Spagnuolo. But yeah,
he's Vance Joseph, like there's, I mean, he's in Brian Flores.
He's in the ballpark.
Yeah, he's in the top five at worst. Nobody, and like the insane film guys say that like they revere Fangio. Like he's the new Dick LeBeau, for example, for a lot of these people who break it down. Yeah, you're saying Jeffrey Lurie would have fired all those people. You know what the most depressing thing Ray Fittipaldi said to us, and I don't blame Ray for it. It's just Ray. That's Ray's expertise.
Well, guys, they're both under contract.
You said
no. Back.
You just said, what about Pat Meyer? And he literally didn't say like, oh, he did a good job, or they think he did this. He said, guys, he's under contract.
Yeah,
that just is. That hits like, what's that old video of the bald guy with no shirt on who's getting the cannon fired into his stomach and then his skin's rippling out? That's how I feel hearing. Yes, that's how I feel hearing that.
Or how about the Taekwondo guys that are just getting hit in the balls repeatedly with things,
like letting people kick them as hard? Yeah, yeah. What's that all about, man?